But I'm going to give you some information that you probably aren't going to get anywhere else. Okay? So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what you need to know about sex before you get your groove on. And I started this series last week, you know, what you need to know before it happens to you. There's a lot of things as I look back in my life that I wished someone would have told me. And this is one of those topics. Hey, John, if you could get me some of the monitors here, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And maybe take the reverb off. I'm hearing my own echo. Thank you. You know, I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere you go, every movie, or not every movie, but many movies, many songs, the topic of sex always seems to come up. It comes up on television. You can't hardly turn to a sitcom. There it is. You go to a cartoon. There it is. You go to a song. There it is. You open up a magazine. There it is. You're walking through the grocery store line and 20 tips to how to find his G-spot. And you're standing there, you know, in the grocery store. It's just, you're surrounded by it. So I thought, you know what? We ought to talk about this at church. And trying to change people's image of what they really think church people think about sex. So I felt the best way to do that is talk about it. All right? I want to ask you a question. What if you were to find out that everything, almost everything you've heard about sex or seen of it in Hollywood, movies, magazines, etc., was a big lie and a bunch of distorted misinformation? Have you ever thought about that? What if you were to discover that everything you had heard about it or people told you about it was misinformation? That's my proposition this evening. I believe that almost 98% of everything you've heard about sex is a lie. And what I want to do this evening is try to set the record straight. If you do not change your paradigms of sex, okay? I'm going to be very serious with you tonight. I'm going to be very frank with you tonight. If you have virgin ears, you might want to leave now, because I'm going to speak very frankly to you this evening about this topic. But if you do not change your paradigms, you will be left disillusioned, very unfulfilled, and quite dysfunctional by the time you get married. Now you say, now how do I know this? Well, first of all, I've been married 20 years. You haven't. I figured today about how many times I've had sex. So I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, let's say that it's a lot more than you. Secondly, I've been pastoring and counseling people for almost 14 years of my life. And I have had hundreds and thousands of conversations of people coming to me for help in this area because of the damage that has been done because of the misinformation, the false expectations, and all the erroneous crap that somebody told them. And it's very serious. Let me tell you, when you're sitting with a husband and a wife and they're thinking of getting divorced because they don't want to have sex anymore, because she doesn't want to have sex anymore, because he's oversexed, you got a problem. You got a problem. There's little kids involved, all because people have been misinformed about this topic. I want to give you a little example. It doesn't have to do with sex. It has to do with the ab flex, the ab roller. You ever seen the infomercial for the ab roller? You ever seen the infomercial? You got this infomercial, you got these beautiful people on there, beautifully sculpted abs, and they're telling the ab roller, just 5 to 10 minutes a day, and you can have a stomach like this. Your whole body will change. This is the only workout you'll need to do. What they fail to tell you is it's a bunch of crap. Number one, for the $90 you spend on the ab roller, you can do the same thing for free with crunchies. Same thing. By the way, I investigated all this before I'm telling you this. I talked to people who are physical trainers who graduated in all that, you know, physiology kind of exercise guru junk. Number two, you cannot spot lose weight on your body. So if you have a blubbery tummy, it's going to stay blubbery on the outside. And 10 minutes or 5 minutes on the ab roller isn't even going to get you at 50 to 60% of your target heart rate. And you know anything about exercise, you have to work out at least 20 minutes at 85% of your target heart rate. For me, that means my heartbeat has to be 145 beats a minute for 20 minutes to burn any calories, let alone get some cardiovascular strengthening of the heart. You know how much money they made on the ab roller? Millions. You know why? Because Americans are so starved for anything they think will help their life, they will buy a lie. And it happens every day in this country. Every single day, somebody's got something to sell to somebody who's gullible, to somebody who doesn't know the truth. So what I want to do, I got a lot of things to tell you tonight. Okay, a whole lot of things. I think they'll keep your attention, and I promise you they will be very helpful. I'm not saying this so you think, oh no, Mark's really incredible. I'm just saying this because it's my job. Pretend for a moment that I'm a heart surgeon. I've been doing heart surgery for 14 years. Do I need to say I've saved a lot of people's lives? That's no brag. It's just a fact. It's what I do for a job. So, but I'm not really a heart surgeon. I work with people's lives. I become their personal life coach and trainer. And maybe you should know that there are hundreds of marriages that I've saved. Hundreds of young people's lives who weren't married yet, who I was able to help them before they crashed and burned in this area. And to be honest, there isn't much honest to God help out there for this topic. So I want to talk with you about it this evening. First thing, all right? First thing that you've got to understand is this. Sex was created by God. It is not a bad thing. It's a God thing. Genitals did not sneak up on God. It wasn't like God set it in motion and, oh my gosh, a penis. Oh my gosh, breast. Oh man, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? I don't know, Father. Jesus, what do you think we ought to do? I don't know. It was the plan from the beginning. God is not some prude, some being that doesn't want you to enjoy what He made for you to enjoy. In fact, God made it for your enjoyment. He made it for men and women to enjoy and explore in a marriage relationship. But outside of that, it is very destructive. And I'm going to go into that with you this evening. And I'm not going to spotlight any of you tonight. I really wouldn't do that. But I know a number of people in this auditorium tonight that have been immoral. A number of men, a number of women, many I've talked to. I'm going to tell you a little secret. If there's any regret they have in their life, I have one regret in my life. I don't have any other. I have one regret. I regret the fact that I started being sexually active at 11 and a half years old. And if I could change anything in my life, I'd have changed that. And the habits, and I'm going to share this with you later, that I developed as a teenager almost ruined my marriage. And I have made it sort of a personal quest of mine to make sure that I'm honest with other people, so they don't have to hit in the walls that I did. All right. Fact. God created Adam and Eve, and when He did, He created them naked. And there was nothing wrong with it. And you know what? For a long time, they felt no shame. For a long time, they weren't paranoid about their body. They weren't all caught up. Oh my gosh, I don't have any clothes on. God made them to enjoy one another and enjoy what He'd made. And then one terrible thing happened. They disobeyed what God told them to do. And He told them, now listen, don't touch this tree. You know, think about it for a moment. You're put into a place, there's billions of acres, lots of forest, lots of things to eat, and there's one tree, just one. Don't eat it, don't touch it, you'll die. I don't know about you, but boy, if somebody told me that, it's kind of like poison ivy, you know? Your parents ever tell you, no, see, that's poison ivy. What's poison ivy, Mom? Well, it gets all over it and makes you red and yuck and you itch all over. And yeah, I'm staying away from that. Now, if I'd have been Adam and Eve, had it just moved a few 1,000 acres away from the tree. But they didn't. Number two, I want to read this to you. Some of you may not even know this is in the Bible. You'd be surprised what's in the Bible that nobody ever tells you. Proverbs chapter 5, it says this, okay? Let your wife be a fountain of blessing to you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving doe, a graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be intoxicated with her love. May you always be intoxicated with her love. God made your bodies, both the male and the female body, for you to enjoy, for you to explore with the person that you're married to, that you're spending the rest of your life with. I had someone ask me, I've been asked so many times, Mark, is there any inappropriate sex in marriage? I mean, you know, what does the Bible have to say about that? I'm going to get to that a little bit later. So you hang on, all right? Okay? You know what else the Bible says in Corinthians? It says, wives, your body is not your own. It's your husband's. Husbands, your body is not your own. It's your wife's. Do not deprive each other of sexual enjoyment except by mutual consent for a time. Maybe of reflection, maybe of prayer, but not very long. Lest you be tempted is exactly what it says. Don't deprive each other. God doesn't want a couple depriving each other, but I've talked with couples where, you know, it's kind of used as the cattle prod. I'll give you some. Oh, on one condition. I want some new furniture. And I'm sick and tired of you watching football on Sunday. So you stop watching football, and I'll give you some sex. Listen, I've heard it all. Just about anything you can imagine, I've seen. All right. Here are the things that you need to know. Number one, men, you have been conditioned by Hollywood through movies, TV, MTV, magazines, etc., that women want sex all the time, that they are a plaything for your enjoyment. In fact, they are portrayed as enjoying that role. Quite often, they're portrayed as the aggressor, as if they can't wait to tear the clothes off their male partner and get him into bed. This is a huge lie, and it leads you to a ton of trouble. I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're sitting in the movie theater, or you're sitting in watching a television show, and the next thing you know, some girl, not the guy, is coming on to him, putting her mouth all over his face, ripping his shirt off, taking his clothes off. Well, let me tell you something. That rarely is the case. That's rarely the case. That's men seeking to condition women to act in a certain way, and I'll explain to you in a moment, that goes almost contrary to how most women are. And secondly, men, it damages you. It gives you totally erroneous and false expectations of what a woman is supposed to be. Most women are just the opposite. They are modest, even though sometimes they don't dress like it. We're talking about what's going on the inside, guys, not what they've been conditioned by society to think they need to be to get a man. See, women, guys, I'll explain something to you about girls. They're real interesting beings. They will conform to the conditioning of society long enough to get a ring on their finger and get you down the aisle. And then they become what they really are. And that's honest to God truth. And if you think I'm wrong, you can ask almost any one of the married couples that helped us plant the rock. Because I counseled almost everyone before they got married. And everything I told them what happened, happened. Now you listen to me. Women, by nature, are inhibited, self-conscious, a little fearful, and they're waiting for you to lead them. I'm generalizing. I'm not saying every single one. I'm generalizing. This is why most fraternity parties have beer and wine so they can get you drunk enough, uninhibited enough, to get your clothes off. Are you an idiot? Guys have known this for years. They've known you get a little alcohol in a woman, just a little bit, she gets a little loose, a little happy, a little less inhibited, because naturally she is inhibited. Naturally she is. And it's pathetic that so many of them get taken advantage of. But guys, you're bombarded every single day with music, with what you see, with the magazines, and I'll get into some of that as we go. Women, let me just say this to you for a moment under this point. You have also been affected by all the phony, dreamy, romantic situations that rarely ever exist. Like Sleepless in Seattle. And you think it's innocent. I'm not saying, it's so precious, it's cute, it's funny. After you've seen those kinds of things over and over and over again, you yourself begin to become conditioned as to what you expect is going to happen in your life. And you place these expectations on men that rarely do they live up to. And so you've got this situation that the devil deliberately exacerbates so that he can bring constant tension and turmoil into your lives. Okay? Second thing. Because this image is forced on us constantly, women often succumb to this conditioning, trying to play a part they think they're supposed to, only to end up frustrated, hurt, and disillusioned with men and with sex. This is the one reason so many women struggle with body image. They think they will never get a man unless they have a great sensual body. I've had to bury women. Guy, listen to me, men and women. I've had to bury women because they believe this crap. And they look like they came from Auschwitz and still believed they were too fat. Society does not want to help you. They want to hurt you and use you for their own advantage. And I'm going to stand in the way. And I don't care if there's one person here or in the years to come, thousands to come, I am going to say it like it really is, because this is the reality of what goes on. It does not take a sensual body to have great sex. I'm going to tell you later what it does take. But when you've been constantly conditioned and you see that only certain kind of women get all the attention and certain kind of women are pressed on you all the time, you think, then I'm going to have to do that. And you're not stupid. I mean, they have surveys, you know. They have surveys that say, usually a woman who's 5'6" to 5'8" and weighs about 118 to 126 pounds will be asked out far more frequently in high school than someone 5'4" weighing 132 pounds. They have it all down to a science, and I'm just quoting it to you. And it's all crap, because it ruins people's lives and it damages you for the future dream that you have of this marriage relationship. That unless you allow me to help you shatter these paradigms, you're not going to have a happy marriage. You're not. And you're not going to have an exhilarating and exciting sex life, which is your right by God. He will allow it for you, but there's things you got to change. Okay? Third thing. This is a lie. Relates to what I just said. A woman is the sum total of her body parts. Great body equals great sex. This has been one of the great lies of pornography. Men, this will destroy your life and the woman you love. She can never live up to these phony, airbrushed, silicon images, and you will be unable to have a healthy emotional relationship with her. And as porn continues to reaffirm harmful stereotypes and attitudes about women, it leads you down a very destructive path of lustful, stupid thought patterns. And it leaves you unable to relate to women in a healthy, emotional, or spiritual way. I cannot overemphasize this point. Let me tell you my opinion. I don't have the money to prove it. You're going to have to trust me. If you added up all the lives that have been ruined, all the marriages, all the men that have been ruined by pornography, it would dwarf what alcohol and drugs have done to families. it would dwarf it. I know women that think they just have to put up with it. Guys watching his X-rated video and his wife can never live up to it. And it's a serious addiction and it will rot you out from the inside out. And you'll start to look at every woman and you can never look her in the eye. All you can do is look at her body and you undress everyone you see. And you are unable and impotent to have a healthy emotional relationship with her. You have no idea how to have one. And unless you can ever, listen to me, men, unless you can ever learn to develop this healthy, emotional relationship with a woman, you will never have great sex. If your woman cannot and does not respect you, you are messed up for a long, long time. And you are going to be so hurting and so disillusioned, but so is she, because she wants to be close to you. And pornography is in the way. And personally, I'll tell you something. It has never been more dangerous time to live in this area than today because of one simple thing, the internet. It is unbelievable the crap that they allow. And I've told some ladies, you know, often women, they don't quite understand. They do and they don't how men are wired. It's kind of like, you know, you're in your house. And upstairs, in a bedroom, there's 30 women, 3,000 women, who will do anything you want with a push of a button. And that's what the internet's like. And that's what many of these wives feel like they have to compete with, and these women are competing with. And men, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. And if you can't control it, get rid of the damn thing. Get rid of it. Because it will destroy you. I promise you that. I have dealt with so many individuals and this has destroyed their lives. I was reading an article recently written by a woman. She's written this new book on try to write on healthy lifestyles, and she's helped Kathy Smith and Paul Abdul and a whole lot of other people do these aerobic videos. She's trying to help people understand that these people's lives, I'm surprised she's saying this, are really phony. She said, first of all, most of them work out 30 hours a week. They have personal chefs who cook all their food, who watch every single calorie that goes in their body. They have 10 to 15 people who take care of their makeup, 5 or 6 people who do their hair, special lighting, and when that doesn't work, they airbrush the cover of the front magazine. Don't you realize, listen to me folks, don't you realize that everything that's being pawned to you is a lie? It's a lie. One woman after another will say, oh, I never had plastic surgery. I never had cosmetic surgery. Well, finally she admits it. Hulk Hogan, I never used steroids. I never used steroids. Oh, I used steroids. Filthy lying pigs. And that's what you as a child, you grew up seeing. You grew up seeing. You think that's manhood, that's womanhood, and it's all a lie. And these are the same people who can maintain a relationship with the same person for more than 3 to 5 years. And then they're screwing somebody else. These are the same people who are taking their lives in Hollywood, but trying to make us think that their lives are so wonderful. And it's a lie. Now, many of you go, well, Mark, I knew that. The problem is that when you see it so much, it conditions you, and you just, whether you think it's a lie or not, it's affecting you. Fourth, sex outside of marriage is very destructive on men and women. And I'm going to explain a few reasons why. Okay? Most people who have had sex outside of marriage have never really had great, fulfilling sex. They just had sex. Most people who've had sex outside of marriage have never had great sex, fulfilling sex, deeply satisfying sex. They just had sex. It will leave its scars and it will cause a tremendous amount of guilt in you. A tremendous amount of guilt. Now, here's some of the ways it affects men. Here's some of the ways it affects women. We'll start with women. First, it makes them feel used and ashamed. Used and ashamed. They end up associating guilt and shame, and often they see sex as something dirty. Men are often perceived as sex-crazed slobs, And often after marriage, these women want to avoid sex at all costs, or they just go through the motions. Women end up using sex to try to keep a guy around, afraid if they say no, they will lose him. And it leads to tremendous insecurity. And I could start going down through the aisle tonight and tell you the story and have that one woman after another tell you this is how they feel. When they come and talk to the priest, you usually get the truth. When they're crying and they're broken and the fifth guy has used them and left them and they've given away this precious gift, they start to feel like trash because that's how they've been being treated. Men, you get sex on the brain and soon passion controls you. You have trouble developing a lasting relationship with women. And more often, you develop bad sexual habits that follow you through life. You especially develop a very selfish, satisfy me sexual mentality. And you use women for your own gratification. And it won't stop after you're married. It won't stop. And I don't like to share this with you, but I've always promised that I'd be honest with you. I know this, number one, because I've had to help men and women deal with it. I know it, number two, because it happened to me. Habits I thought were gone. Thought patterns I thought were gone. I got married and they were. And they caused major, major problems in my relationship with my wife. And I thank God for the wife He gave me who is willing to work through them and stay devoted. But I sure didn't deserve it. I sure didn't deserve it. And it was all because of these habits and these patterns that got sown. And nobody sat me down like I'm trying to do with you tonight and had an honest to God, heart to heart, unashamed talk with me about really what's really going to happen. And what's going to happen if I don't take it seriously. Okay? Fifth, sex will make you stupid and cloud your judgment. Guys, ask yourself this question. Do you really want Madonna, Demi Moore, Pamela Lee, Jennifer Lopez raising your children? You ever thought about that? Anyone can be a lover. Not anyone can be a great mother. I wouldn't take the material girl for all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade what I have for what Madonna doesn't any day of the week. She has no idea whatsoever what fulfilling sex is really like, because she does not have God in her life, and you cannot have fulfilling sex without God, the Creator, in your life. It's impossible. You go through the motions. You may have physical feelings, but you don't ever get it in the deepest level possible spiritually, in that deep, intimate connection, because you're incapable of that. And yet, these are the kind of women that often men fantasize about. I want to ask you guys something. If Demi Moore was your wife, you want her doing the film stripper? Is that going to like really excite you? Is that going to really be something like, wow, this is cool. Let's go, guys. Hey, buddies, instead of watching football, let's go watch my wife strip. We don't stop and think about that, do we? Bruce Willis, Demi Moore. I wonder what that does to a guy. Of course, I wonder what brings a woman to do it. There's a story of a woman. One time a man was asking her, he said, how many of you would have sex with somebody for $1 million? Woman said, oh, I'd certainly consider it. Well, how many would have with $2 million? Said, oh, I'd do that. So then he said, well, how about 1,000? She said, well, what kind of woman do you think I am? And he said, we've already settled what kind of woman you are. We're just haggling over the price. I guess you got the point, don't you? I guess you got the point. Ladies, listen to me. There is no reason at all whatsoever that you need to use sex to keep a man. If you do, he's the exact opposite of the man you want to keep. Don't you get it? Don't let yourself be disrespected. And don't let yourself be used. Walk away. Walk away. And you guys, obviously, you know what I'm telling you. Leave them alone. Quit pressuring them. And get some help. And walk uprightly. And walk morally. And someday, you'll be glad you did. I promise you. You'll be glad. I can tell you I had a great sex. I'm frankly very proficient at it. You know, because I've grown. Because I've learned. And I'm going to tell you later what it takes to have great sex. I'm not afraid to talk about it. We're going to get to that. Just going to have to hold on. I got a few more things to tell you. Okay? Number six. Sex is not life, and life is not sex. Sex is a small part of life. I want to read something to you. Now, you may think that's a stupid point. Why'd you say that? Because I was 18 once. And all that mattered to me was the size of a woman's breast. I'm just being very frank with you. And all I thought about was sex. That's all I wanted. That's all I thought about. Yeah, you know, you go along with the relationship as long as you could, and then the goal was sex. Then I got married. I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, this is really cool. I'm married. Now I don't have sex as often as I want. Wrong. And then there's problems. Making every minute count. Look how your time goes. 7 hours and 18 minutes of sleep. That's a 20% drop from a century ago. 6 hours working if you're employed. That's counting the time you actually work. 4 hours doing housework. 3 hours watching TV. Double the 1965 figure. 1 hour and 26 minutes online if you're an online computer user. 1 hour eating. 52 minutes on the phone, 41 minutes reading magazines and newspapers, 29 minutes visiting other people, 31 minutes caring for children, 16 minutes searching for lost objects, 16 minutes reading books, 7 minutes caring for pets and plants, 4 minutes having sex. About the same the government says we spend filling out government forms. I hate to tell you the truth. Fortunately, my average is about double that. 8 big minutes. What was my point? Sex is not life, and life is not sex. Sex is a real small part of your future life. But when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, it's everything. And you know it is. It's everything. It's everywhere. What in the heck do you think the Tropics Club is all about? Let's have a good time. Let's get laid. Don't you get it? Have you watched MTV lately? Have you watched Jennifer Lopez do her little song while the voyeur guy is looking through her in the little cam with her computer? It is pushed on you all the time as if sex is life. No, it isn't. It isn't. And if you don't get that through your head, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Number seven. There are more satisfying things in marriage than just sex. There really are. And I'm really glad I learned that. Now, sex can be really satisfying. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are other things in life that are equally satisfying and at times far more satisfying. Like, for example, sharing your life together. Being emotionally close to your spouse. Knowing that you're just devoted to each other. Tied together. I was over visiting a friend's father and mother the other night. They've been married 54 years, and his father's been going through a struggle with his health right now. So I went over to their home in St. Paul, and it was just such a joy. I don't often get to be around people who've been married that long, to be honest with you. And here they are, this older couple. They go on walks 14, 15 blocks every day. They walk together. They share their life together. And they just have so many stories. They're just so energetic about life. And I thought, you know, what a rich thing to look back, see your children, see your life together, 53 years of sharing the same bed together, same house together, and loving each other. Now that's an accomplishment, and that's something quite fulfilling. Anybody can go out and have a one-night stand, a one-month stand, live with somebody for a year, move on. That's nothing. Nothing's quite as satisfying as knowing God together serving God together. My wife and I have been serving God together for 20 years, and it's the most extraordinary journey I could have ever imagined being on. The times we just sit together and we cry over what God has done through our lives and the people who have sent us letters thanking us for our life. Raising godly children. I'm going to do one of these messages. It's going to be called What You Need to Know About Kids Before You Have One. But kids can be the most extraordinary gift in the world, or they can make your life hell. Sharing awesome spiritual experiences together. There are many others I could say. Last number eight here. The attitudes and thoughts and habits you sow now, you will reap in marriage. And what you reap could ruin your life. So be very careful what you sow. Be very careful what you sow. And I mean that honestly. It just breaks my heart how many people I've had to visit with about this, or they're so trapped, they're caught into this rut. I want to try to explain something to you. This may be too big for you to grasp. Maybe you don't even believe in the devil. The Bible talks about him frequently. He's very real. I want to tell you a little secret about him. Everything in this world, his intention is to hurt you with it. He's the most pathetic tyrant, dictator. He delights in rape. He delights in murder. He delights in anything that hurts your life. God, on the other hand, everything that God said and everything God wants is to help you and to benefit you. And you've been given just the opposite impression of the real meaning of Christianity. I have an article here this evening. I don't know if I'll read it. I'm in a debate myself here what I should do. Would you guys like me to continue this next week? Should we end? It's like 7:30. Or do you really want me to do the rest of this? I don't really know what to do. How many of you really want to go? Raise your hand. You really want to go? I don't see anybody's hand. Okay, so I'm going to take that. I'm going to finish this, all right? If you got to go, you'll feel free to go. But I really want to give this information. It's called The Revenge of the Church Ladies. Revenge of the Church Ladies. I want to read you just a few little things out of it that's going to surprise you. Several major research... By the way, Sigmund Freud said that church ladies in particular suffer from obsessional neurosis accompanied by guilt, suppressed emotions, and repressed sexuality. Sigmund Freud was a moron. Okay? He was sick in the head. And it blows my mind that they even teach his thought at our learned universities. But that's for another time. Let me just show you how wrong he was. Several major research studies show that church ladies and men who sleep with them are among the most sexually satisfied people on the face of the earth. They reported that religious women experience significantly higher levels of sexual satisfaction than non-religious women. While this outcome caught many by surprise, the Chicago study was hardly the first to show a link between spirituality and sexuality. In fact, in the 40s, Stanford University study and 1970s Red Book magazine surveyed 100,000 women. And that's a pretty thorough survey. Usually they do 1,000 to 2,000. 100,000 women and at least one other study from the early 1990s, all found higher levels of sexual satisfaction among women who attend religious services religiously. In other words, most religious women are actually experiencing the big O far more frequently than, say, the average cosmopolitan reader. If you know what the big O is, ask me later. Instead, at least four other factors appear to be responsible for the link between spiritual commitment and sexual fulfillment. First, church ladies appear to benefit from their lack of sexual experience prior to marriage. And I can also attest to that in tons of counseling situations. All the experiencing you're having now ain't going to help you a bit once you're married. That's right. Several studies, including Red Book survey, show that women who engage in early sexual activity and those who have had multiple partners are less apt to express satisfaction with their sex lives than women who enter marriage with little or no sexual baggage. But it does mean, okay, not that this means that a virgin bride typically experiences total sexual satisfaction the first time they consummate their marriage, or that sexual baggage is impossible to unload, and I'll get to that later. But it does mean that saving sex for marriage pays considerable dividends. David Larson of the National Institute of Healthcare Research reports couples not involved before marriage and faithful during marriage appear to be far more satisfied with their current sex life than those who were involved sexually before marriage. Secondly, churchgoers appear to benefit from a commitment to marital fidelity and marital permanence. In fact, most major studies show a strong correlation between monogamous marriage and sexual satisfaction. And sex therapist Marianne Mayo says this connection is particularly strong for women since their sexual responsiveness is greatly affected by the relational context in which lovemaking takes place. Mayo says that a mutual commitment to lifelong marriage not only makes it easier for women to let themselves go sexually, but it also tends to encourage constructive pillow talk about sex between spouses. Indeed, Red Book found that highly religious women are more than likely than other women to communicate with their husbands about sex. It's just the opposite of what you've been told. Just the exact opposite of what you've been told. And guys, let me share something with you. The reason it's so important that women are satisfied sexually is because if they're not, you're not. That's why it's so critical you start thinking about them instead of you. You can sit in front of your computer, and I'm going to be really blunt here, and get off all you want and do whatever you want to yourself to a machine. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing beats the real thing. And you will never be able to have the real thing if you keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them, the ladies. See, it won't work. When she's happy, you're happy. When she's fulfilled, you're fulfilled. And she'd be most fulfilled, just like it says in here. You let her alone, stay committed to her, and marry her. And build your life on a spiritual foundation involving God. Third, church ladies typically enjoy far greater sexual freedom. I'm going to talk about that later. That'll be a fun one. A 1982 UCLA study found that sexual satisfaction is positively affected by the absence of sexual anxiety. And part of the reason church ladies have more fun is they don't have to worry about many of the fears commonly associated with sexual promiscuity, such as the fear of AIDS, other sexually transmitted diseases, fear of rejection, fear of out-of-wedlock pregnancy, or the fear of getting caught. Moreover, church ladies tend to be free from the guilt associated with violating one's own sexual standards, a factor that a University of Connecticut study found to hinder sexual satisfaction among unmarried college students. And church ladies seem to benefit from the belief that sexual pleasure is not the be-all, end-all of human existence, or even the key to a happy marriage. While sexual fulfillment constantly, certainly contributes to marital satisfaction, Mayo says that sexual enjoyment is more commonly a byproduct of a stable, happy union rather than the primary cause of it. And I'm going to have to finish the rest next week because I'm losing my voice, okay? I want you to come back next week because now what I'm going to do next week, I'll continue this. I'm going to talk about the positive side of sex.